Well, hello friends and welcome to a new era here at the Kings of Anglia podcast, new era Ipswich Town, new era on this podcast because I've insisted on getting involved. My name is Mark Heath, I'm the sports editor here. I'm extremely busy and very important, but I've made some time for this today. With me as ever, Stuart Watson, chief football writer, looking relaxed.
All right.
Just back of his holes. Got another holiday coming up as well, haven't you, Stuart?
Yeah, got to fit them in.
Lovely. And the man, Andy Warren.
Ayo.
Currently monitoring sound levels, he's our tech man.
Yeah.
So, boys, new era Ipswich Town. We're going to get to that in a minute. Obviously, new man, Paul Hurst. It's been a little while, though, since we've done one of these podcasts. What have you both been up to? Now, Andy, I know currently you're a very sleep-deprived individual.
Got a little girl now.
New father.
Since the last one of these.
Absolutely.
Things have changed a little
How's
bit.
That all going?
Yeah, she's getting heavy.
Yeah.
Big head. Yeah, she's doing good.
Nappy situation's all right?
Yeah, I've got that down. I'm pretty fast on the old nappies now. F1 pit stop style, in, out, quick, clean, out you go again.
Stuart Watson. Father of a two-year-old little girl. Do you ever get used to that nappy situation? Does it ever become second nature?
Well, I'm onto toilet training stage now, so that's the fun and games I'm at. I've just been saying to Andy, just as you complete one challenge as a parent, there's another one waiting around the corner. So, and I'm told there's plenty more to come. So, yeah, all good.
I'm childless and happy. I've got a dog, so I'm the one smiling in this room. Moving on, boys. Paul Hurst, the manager at Ipswich Town. We expected that. It was been coming probably for a week or so. Stuart, snap judgment. Right choice, good man. What's going to happen?
Yes.
Will he be a success or not?
Yes. Well, we have to say that now, don't we? Come on, let's ride this positivity bandwagon as long as we possibly can. I think we've got a duty to do that, haven't we? It's the type of appointment that I think most people wanted, wasn't it? It's different. Young, hungry, up and coming, whatever label you want to put on it. I think it's really refreshing that Ipswich have gone for a young Englishman that's climbed his way up the ladder. I think I've just been looking at it. I think he's managed at every level from step 7 all the way up to step 2 now at some stage or another. So I like to see people being rewarded for earning their stripes and working their way up. And I think he looks like a very hungry individual and hopefully that will rub off on the players.
Mm. Andy? You're going to loom over him, look down on him.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, that's the biggest takeaway from me. I've never ever worked with a football manager that's shorter than
just
me.
Just how tall, for the record, is Paul Hurst?
Well, Paul Hurst is 5'4.5".
And you are?
5'6.5".
So you will tower over him.
Yeah, we need to find out his shoe size now as well, to see if I'm beating him in that as well. But
other than his stature, you think he's a good man, good choice?
Yeah, I think so. I think someone that's taking a step up rather than their next stop on the managerial merry-go-round is exactly what Ipswich needed. Everything we seem to be finding out about him is positive, and yeah, new era, fresh start, everybody seems happy. 86% of people on our vote were happy.
Outstanding.
Which is good.
Absolutely. So the search took, what, 60?
63 days.
Not that we're counting, but it's over now. And in terms of actually speaking to the new man, obviously we've only ever had some sort of quotes put out by the club and some quotes from Marcus as well so far. Paul himself is on holiday, isn't he? Can you just bring us up timeline on that? So Paul's on holiday in Dubai?
He's in Dubai now. I think that's already a delayed family holiday because Shrewsbury made the playoff final, the League One playoff final. So got to feel a little bit for his family at the moment. I think he's got two kids over there. They've already had to delay their holiday, their summer holiday. And now I'm sure their dad is on the phone pretty much every minute of the day preparing for life upon his return. And as soon as Paul gets back, he goes straight into a management course, an LMA management course, of which he did part one last summer. He's back to part two in London. So we're thinking at the moment, the plan is that his official unveiling press conference could be in London on Monday, June the 11th.
The obvious place for an unveiling of Ipswich Town manager is London.
Management course. He's not learning how to be a manager.
No, we should stress.
We should be clear on that.
He already knows that.
They haven't appointed a manager and just sent him off. Right then, off you go.
Yeah.
Go and work out how you're going to do this. He knows what he's doing already, I think.
Absolutely.
He's already badged up to the hilt. I think this course is only open to people with the UEFA A licence. So you've got to be pretty well qualified to even go on this course. But I think this is a good sign that Paul Hurst is someone that's hungry to learn and wants to keep adding qualifications to his skill set. I mean, he's got a journalism degree, which we're hoping will be great for us. He did a stint on the Rotherham Advertiser, I think, after being a player. And now he's trying to sort of... I've just been looking at the modules on this course. It's modules in leadership and sports science and public speaking and all sorts of bits and pieces on there. So the recurring theme when we're speaking to people that know him is that he's a man who wants to better himself all the time and never rests on his laurels, and sounds good to me.
There's a lot of stuff said about him, Andy, isn't there, that sounds quite reminiscent of the ghost of Christmas past, Mick McCarthy, in terms of, we're saying hard work in his teams are organised, yeah. His players will run through walls for him.
But these are good things.
They are good things.
They're
yeah.
good things. And the differences come, I think, in playing approach, where we're led to believe, and everyone that's spoken about him is that he's just a front foot football manager that plays to win matches home and away and isn't matching up to the opposition. He has a style that he plays to.
Mm.
Come on, mate.
And he brings with him, of course, a guy who's assistant at Shrewsbury, Chris Doig. I believe hey, I've got that right. Is it Doig?
You keep saying this, don't you? Doig. You keep getting...
Andy, what's his name? Deputy Doig.
Deputy Doig.
Like
that. I didn't make that up, by the way, if before anybody...
We'll take it.
Claims
we'll
in,
take
we
it.
We will be using
Absolutely, we'll use it to the death, as any good phrase in journalism gets used. He comes... He's already played with Luke Chambers, has he?
Yep.
Northampton. Yeah,
so he knows the captain here.
We found a great picture of Luke Chambers this morning.
We did, didn't we? Unbelievable.
No
skinhead.
Yeah, no hair. Bit of extra weight on there. I'm not one to really judge on that character.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of extra weight on him. I don't think he'll like seeing that pic, so maybe we can...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll pop that in the paper at some point.
Chambers certainly improved with age, hasn't he? And,
yes.
And Deputy Doig himself is something of a heartthrob, I understand.
He's gone down well with the female at Switzerland,
yeah.
I think.
Tall, chiselled. There's a lovely picture of him wrapping up Paul Hurst in his, yeah. in his big arms, isn't he? He's a good big. Foot taller than Paul, but they're going to cut a striking pair on the touchline, I'm sure.
I hate him already. so he's going to come over with Paul Hurst. I think we need a nickname for Paul Hurst, because obviously we've had Big Mick. I suggested the Mini Messiah, the Pocket Rocket.
Andy, are these terms that offend you?
I'm not offended. The second half of it is positive. There are other things you can call small people.
Like absolutely.
The midget.
Yeah.
Just the midget. Don't call him that.
The mini Messiah. I like the sound
the
of it.
The Messiah's a good
yeah, yeah.
thing.
Not getting too carried away early doors. Just call him Messiah.
he's a very naughty boy.
Indeed. but yeah, so he's coming in. The other big news this week, of course, was the kit. Which, gents, I'd like your thoughts on this,
kit
please.
Talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Bright. Away kit. Bright. Very bright. You've... we've both had a little look in the club shop just over the way from here. We were told it's brighter than the pictures do justice, and it is. We're talking high-vis jacket here, aren't we?
Whoever mocked up that picture of Martin Waghorn in a bin man's uniform on Twitter, I love that.
Is it spot on? It? I've seen the picture, I haven't seen the kit.
They just added some grey, like fluorescent grey stripes to it. He looked like a bin man when he did that.
I'm going to say I've not seen the kit, obviously I've not seen it in person. So it is bright though, is it? It's brighter than the sun
in
person. Can be seen from space.
I'm not adverse to that though. I like orange as an away colour for Ipswich. Successful colour for them historically. I think fans quite like orange. So. And home kit's grown on me as well. I'm not adverse to the little stripes of red in there as well. A bit different.
It's grown on me since I watched the club's video and seen it.
Yeah.
Seen it live. I don't like the red stripes on the shoulders, but the red shorts are actually quite both grown on me.
Did you see the techers from Waghorn in the unveiling video doing the penalty? Where he kind of, if you've not seen it, he goes to play the ball normally in a penalty, doesn't he? And then kind of spins 360, misses the ball, spins 360, and knocks it in with his
heel. Yeah, not for one in games, I think we discussed.
Don't do that in a game.
I think you should definitely do it in a game. Because if he scores it, legendary stuff.
Yeah.
Admittedly, he probably won't score it, but maybe one when you're 4-0 up.
Do you remember the Arsenal penalty where, was it Henri and Pires completely messed it up, where they tried to do a sort of a run over the top and. Yeah, that's fraught with danger, that Waghorn one, isn't it? But worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
Absolutely. And Andy, you were in the club shop this morning.
Yeah, I popped into the club shop this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to just share with our friends what you were doing in the club shop?
I just went to have a look at the new kits.
And?
I just had a look at the shorts as well. You see the new little sponsor.
They've got sponsor on the shorts, but that's neither here nor there. You were doing something else in the club shop, Andy, come on.
You make it sound really bad. All I was doing was adding to my collection of football shirts, which is large...
Ipswich Town football shirts.
There's a lot of them, but others as well.
So we've established that you've bought last season's kit for the knockoff price of a tenner or 15 quid, whatever it is.
I'll stop you at kit. I did not buy the kit.
Shirt.
I bought the shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you bought that, and we've established just prior to coming in here that you won't ever wear it. It will now just go into a box with all the other kits.
Yeah, and that box as well is getting further and further away from our actual living areas of our house. That's going to be in the loft soon if my wife has any way.
So how many shirts do you reckon you've got in said box, all wrapped up in sort of in plastic? Is it?
Oh right? No, they're not in plastic.
Not in plastic.
No. But there's probably 50 Ipswich ones in there.
Wow. And you've got a few match worn shirts as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
From some big names.
Yep. Frank Noble.
Big Frank.
Darren O'D.
Darren O'Dear, yeah.
Yeah. Ivar Ingemarsson. There aren't many of them.
That literally is a big name.
And I also, when I was a teenager, caught a shirt in the crowd, which was good.
From who?
From John McGreal.
Ah.
Yeah, at your spiritual home, Pride Park.
Excellent. Outstanding.
Andy, why?
Why did I catch it?
Why do you... What? Why?
What's the point, I think we're trying to say, isn't it? Yeah. You don't put them on display. I can see that if you have them on display on a wall.
I would love to have them on display.
Yeah.
There are other people in my life who perhaps would rather they weren't on display, which is why they're in the box. Why have I still got them?
Yeah.
A lot of them, wonderful childhood memories. And I'll be honest, I've gone a bit over the top and just kept going.
Do you ever get them out and sort of hug them like a little blanket or something?
No.
No?
No, there is a hope that one day... the excuse I give Vicky, my wife, is that one day that our children will absolutely love it. So, just Jessica, if you're listening, at 5 weeks old, they're for you.
What's
Ivar Ingemarsson?
She'll love
it. It's just what she wants. Yeah, it's her 18th birthday present right there. What of your vast collection is your favourite? Would you say?
The John McGreal one.
Yeah,
is a big favourite. I caught that and wrestled a grown man.
You fought a man for it.
Yeah, I chuck a sneaky elbow in.
Excellent.
But he was, in fairness, he was trying to wrestle the shirt away from a 14-year-old boy. So I don't know. I think I was justified in the elbow.
He's a disgrace.
We got back to the car park after the game and we were parked next to him as well, which was incredibly awkward.
Awkward.
Do you remember there was an incident? I think was it Beckford or somebody threw their shirt in the crowd, and an adult, as you just said, wrestled it from a child.
Yep, and put it on eBay.
And put it on eBay, and then the club saw the footage and made sure they got a shirt to them.
That was the League One playoff final in 2015, which I was covering.
Why should the child get it? Just play devil's advocate.
Well,
oh,
so you think it could just be a fair bun fight and fair square?
Hey, this is fair.
You are a fighter.
All's fair in the stands, I reckon.
Only a childless fight man would make such a suggestion.
Chaps, can we just agree on something? I've got a stance on shirts, football shirts, and that is that any man over the age of, I would say, 21, unless they're actually physically at a game or playing football, they shouldn't be seen. They should not be wearing football shirts.
I agree with that.
Thoughts, Stewie?
Agree.
I will disagree. I'll give a bit of a different case. If they're the retro ones.
What are we talking about?
But they've got to be proper retro ones, though, and they almost become fashion.
Like Brazil 1970, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like serious retro. We're not talking the Ipswich kit from 2009.
No, I agree.
You shouldn't be walking around Tesco's wearing it on like a Thursday.
Definitely not.
Thursday,
no, so. And certainly not those full kit individuals that
you see. You are allowed to wear them while you're painting your own house, though. I've done that before.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, would you do that with your collection?
There are some that haven't made it into the box, collection-wise. So yes, ones are in the box now.
So if you're listening right now and you're sitting there wearing a town shirt or any sort of football shirt and you're not currently playing football, I have to assume you're not because you're listening to this, or you're not on your way to a game, have a serious word with yourself.
Take it off as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now. Take it off. Strip.
But don't walk around town with your shirt off in the sun, because that's worse.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Tucked into your shorts. Yeah. And let's be honest, modern football shirts are not designed for the average person.
Good Lord, no.
They're rather ill-fit, tight-fitting.
Yes.
They don't do much for the average person.
The average.
Climacool, breathable technology, Stu. That's what you want, isn't it?
Mm.
Have you seen, on the subject of kits, and we will move on in a minute, but have you seen...
Has Paul Hurst been appointed Ipswich Town Manager?
Yeah, but it's kind of yesterday's news, isn't it? Nigeria's World Cup kit.
Yeah, I love that. Thing of beauty.
Have you seen it? And have you seen
millions.
The range they produce with it?
The tracksuits. That's sold out, apparently.
Now,
already.
I'm not sure I could get away with that as a 38-year-old. Man, but
I've not seen the tracksuit. Is it jazzy?
It's a beautiful thing.
I've got my computer here.
As we speak,
if you're listening, Google it.
Andy Warren is currently trying to find us a picture of the Nigeria. I think I retweeted it earlier, Andy, if you want to get to that.
Adidas have nailed their World Cup kits, haven't they? They have gone for all the throwback kits with a bit of sort of...
But Nigeria, I think, have won the World Cup with this gear.
Let's
have a look.
Just for the benefit of listening, Andy is now showing Stu, and we get an instant live reaction from Stewie.
Wow.
Wow is the reaction.
It is seriously jazzy.
That is funky. I could not wear that, though. I wouldn't get away with that.
If you're listening, Google it and let us know.
Absolutely. Let us know if you'll be buying it.
If you bought one.
And if you are listening and wearing it, more power to you. I'll be a total hypocrite, because that is lovely.
Can men over the age of 21 wear that?
Well, yeah, probably. Helps if you're a Nigerian professional footballer.
I think I've got a pair of spliffy jeans from my teen days that would match up quite nicely with that jacket. Very baggy. You bring that back in.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Moving on, chaps. I mean, obviously, Paul Hurst. Is there anything more to say about Paul Hurst? We don't. As I say, we're not going
to more kid talk. Yeah. That's what the people want. Paul Hurst.
We're basically in a holding pattern now. For those of you who don't understand how journalism works, in which we're now forced to kind of try and speak to anyone who's ever played with him or spoken to him or known him to get an insight, because obviously we can't speak to the man himself.
Well, let me throw out a few sort of reoccurring buzzwords, and we've spoken to people who played with him at Rotherham, former chairman at former clubs, fanzines of former clubs,
former players.
Yeah,
of his
hardworking, honest, always wanting to better himself. That is something, someone that wants to squeeze every last drop out of himself is something that's a reoccurring theme. Not afraid to upset the apple cart. You know, we'll say a few home truths if need be. So a lot of those qualities, as we touched upon earlier, are very Mick McCarthy-esque and good qualities. And hopefully he can continue those good qualities. And where I think the difference will be, and we've said this, is in the style of football. Yes, it's organised, hardworking, disciplined, all the rest of it, but we know that's a must in the Championship. You can't afford not to be those qualities. But hopefully he will just slightly address a few of the frustrations was that there wasn't enough entertainment on offer. There wasn't enough front foot positive football, especially at home here. You know, on the road, you can be a bit more conservative at times. But when it's Burton and teams like that coming to Portman Road, I think teams want to see you try and at least take the initiative and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I think Paul will be someone that does that. High intensity. It's not possession football, but it's intense. It's a high press. It's in their faces, fast counter attacks in the transition.
What was the quote? The great quote was the joy of
football is in giving it a go or something. Was
get
it?
In.
Which
that's what you want to hear, isn't it? Revs my engine, right up.
Your engine is getting revved.
My engine is getting revved. And something else that revs my engine is we talked before about set pieces. He's got an interesting yes. Now let's talk about that. He's got some rascal set pieces, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh goodness. I guess most people probably have seen the one that ended up in the back of the net at Wembley last week in the League One playoff final. A proper intricate little move which fooled Josh Emmanuel, sadly, who will be well known to Paul when he gets here. But a little intricate move that ended up in the net, and some of the corners are brilliant.
But you say he's got routines where players kind of line up in a line and then split like break.
Yeah, they've lined up in single file behind the penalty spot in a little cluster on the edge of the area. It's great.
Almost like little kind of basketball set plays, or basketball, as you say. Around these parts.
Basketball. Yeah. Love basketball.
We love basketball, don't we, Stu?
Yeah.
If you're watching the NBA finals at the moment, LeBron James, the best athlete on earth at the moment, I'm sure we'd all agree, wouldn't you, Stu?
We have a WhatsApp group chat, and these two talk about boring American things in it all the time.
I think you'll find the group chat is called Ballers.
It is called Ballers, yeah.
You knew what you were signing up to, in fairness.
Stu's not interested in anything that's not football or golf.
Incorrect.
I don't think he even likes golf, to be honest. I think that's all a ruse.
There's not enough football in golf for Stu.
Foot golf,
now we're talking.
Don't know. Never tried it.
Yeah, so the other thing that I'd probably notice about Hurst as well, fantastic teeth.
He's got a bit of the Hollywood.
Hollywood Hurst. How about that?
Hurst.
Hurst. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Especially if you can play Hollywood football.
They're quite white. And
they are the Hollywood, the archetypal Hollywood smile, aren't they? And he likes the gym as well, and he hits the gym a lot.
Does he?
Sun's out. Look at those. He's got guns.
The man's in good shape. Yeah. The man is in good shape. Now, obviously, we're talking there about the new Ipswich Town manager.
Mm.
And God forbid we talk about the old Ipswich Town manager. But today we've seen Leeds United sack their manager, Paul Heckingbottom, after just 4 months in charge.
That's not a very Leeds thing to do, is it? It's
very unlike Leeds, to be honest. Goodness. How many have they had? 160 managers in the last 10 days or something?
It's got Mick written all over it, hasn't it?
Hasn't it?
But if you look at who they're talking about, it's not Mick at all, the people that are being linked with it. But it has got Mick.
Who are they being linked with?
We're talking Latin types. We're talking Marcelo Bielsa, former Argentina manager, Claudio Ranieri, and Filippo Inzaghi. But it's Mick, isn't it? Surely it's Mick.
That job has got Mick written all over it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, when Mick left Ipswich, there was a lot of Leeds fans saying, you know, they would love him back there. He grew up, obviously, he's a Barnsley boy, but he grew up supporting Leeds. He's made no secret of that, and I think they would like his straight talking style up there. I think that would suit them as a club, but it seems to be that the trend at the moment is everyone's looking for young and up and coming and hungry, and we've seen that kind of experienced merry-go-round in full force of late with Allardyce and Hodgson and Pardew and others all kind of swapping jobs, and things go around in trends. And at the moment, if I was Mick McCarthy or Pardew, or I know McLaren's got a job now, but you might just be having to lower your targets a little bit in terms of what jobs might become available. But
not as fashionable anymore, are they? Those kind of experience.
At the moment, it goes around managing in trends. I mean, come sacking season in October, November, when somebody pulls the trigger and they're in a difficult, dire position, then Mick's the first man you pick up the phone to, isn't it?
Mick, we'll see him again, I'm sure.
You reckon?
Yeah, before the season's out.
It would be very interesting to see Mick back at Portman Road, see what kind of reception he'd get. Because, you know, he obviously did some good stuff here as well. Do you think he'd get a warm reception if he came back, Mick?
I think it depends on how he addresses the game and the lead-up to it, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I think he could set that agenda himself.
Let's be honest, boys. He kind of talked himself out of a job here, didn't he? Do you think he might regret that in a couple of years?
It may be, because I think ultimately he was in a well-paid job, a job that he liked. I think he liked Suffolk, and even though he didn't live here permanently, he spent a lot of time here. I don't know. I don't know if he would ever admit that. That might be something that he only ever privately admits to himself. Mm. But there was a lot of things that went against him in terms of budget and horrible injury list last season and all the rest of it. Everything just sort of fell in and conspired against him in the end, but he certainly shot himself in the foot at times as well with some of the things that he said. But listen, it's done now. I feel like we've discussed that to death, and it's nice that we've kind of got something fresh and new.
I apologise for bringing that
up. He's telling Mark to
move on, basically. Yeah, he's giving me a look. So a couple of other management appointments this week we should talk about. Jack Ross. Formerly, exactly, who needs Jack
nice
Ross?
One.
Now at Sunderland. Now, he's going to be expected to win the league, isn't he, next season, Jack Ross?
You think so?
But did he? You watched his press conference yesterday, didn't you, Andy? Did he say anything particularly about town? He didn't, did he?
No, he talked about other opportunities, which I think we can take to include the Ipswich job. Mm. He felt like, of all of those, and this also includes Barnsley, who he spoke to earlier in this year, That Sunderland was the one that ticked the right box at the right time for him, without addressing Ipswich specifically.
Yeah. And Frankie Lamps taking over at Derby.
All he said in his press conference was he had preliminary talks with Marcus Evans. So, it's been widely reported that I think he had a couple of interviews with Marcus. For me, that wasn't the route Ipswich needed to go down. I'm pleased they've gone for someone like Paul Hurst, because Frank Lampard would bring a higher level of interest, a bit of a media circus into town. And we've been there before with Roy Keane, and I think that where Ipswich are at this moment in time, it needs to be a bit of a quieter build outside of the limelight. In no way, shape or form am I comparing Frank Lampard as a personality to Roy Keane, but I think Ipswich fans wanted the club to embrace the history of, sort of, you know, unusual managerial appointments. You look back, you know, Ramsey, Robson were by no means established names when they got the job, George Burley as well. So there's something about this appointment that just feels very Ipswich Town to me in quite a nice way.
Did you see Frank Lampard's unveiling video though that Derby put together?
Yes.
That was sexy, wasn't
that
it?
That was good.
Walking down the tunnel, yeah, out into a floodlit Pride Park, empty. Camera spins around, Frank's on the sideline in all his best clobber. And then the drone takes off.
Moody
and flies.
Stare into the middle distance.
It's beautiful, honestly.
He bought into that, didn't he?
That's a sexy appointment, yeah, isn't it? Will he be good though for Derby? Do you think he'll be a success as a manager?
I think he might be.
Yeah?
I think he might be. I don't know why I think that, because there's no track record.
He's an intelligent footballer, isn't he? That's what everyone says.
Has he got an A level?
He's got several A levels.
Two A levels?
Something like that.
Did you read The Guardian?
Something like that, yeah.
I think he'll do alright.
I hope he does do alright, because I quite like Frank Lampard. I think he's good for the game, so fingers crossed. How are we doing for time, Andy, my glamorous assistant?
We've got some time.
Should we do some mailbag questions? We put feelers out on Twitter earlier today. We're going to make this a regular feature of the podcast going forward. We'll take a few questions from you, the listeners, without which we are nothing. Stephen Fuchs, if Bart stays, I would like Ipswich to bring in a centre-back, a winger and a fast, pacey striker in the mould of a young Darren Bent. Town could probably afford the old Darren Bent now, couldn't they?
He's a free agent.
There you go, get him in.
He's not. I don't think he's a fast, pacey striker. So one or the other. There.
He's certainly not a fast, pacey striker. He's more of a fox in the box now, isn't he, for the last 10 minutes. Anyway, so Stephen's saying Town need a centre-back, a winger. I know you both think they need wingers. And a fast, pacey striker. Thoughts?
I agree on all three of them. What do you reckon?
Yep, definitely. Obviously, there's a question mark over Bart. He'll be going into this final 12 months, and his value will be rapidly diminishing. So they might have a decision to make, if not this summer in January, but cross that bridge when we get to it. But at least one centre-back, because you've only got Chambers and Webster now. See if Carter Vickers returns. We both said, I think, at least two wingers, really.
I think so, yeah.
And I think that is certainly a way that Hurst likes to play, so I think that will probably be his priority. Well stocked in central midfield. And with McGoldrick moving on, what have we got up front now? Garner, Waghorn, Sears, another?
Trinan, who we
never
saw.
Some of the younger lads,
maybe.
Morris.
Maybe he'll get a chance. Yeah,
Fellaini.
And who's the lad at Shrewsbury you said we like, don't we?
Toto,
yeah. The centre-back.
Toto and Ciala. I think he ticks a lot of the centre-back boxes, to be honest.
He's a big physical defender.
Quick player.
Anger issues, like that.
Not anymore.
Her sorted him out.
Thanks to Paul, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that in the summer.
Omar Bogle was another name that you threw out there, one of Hurst's success stories at Grimsby.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
Just got promoted with Cardiff and is probably unlikely to be a big part of their Premier League squad under Warnock.
So some interesting names there.
Maybe.
For you, Stephen. Thanks for your question. Moving on to Harvey. Thank you, Harvey. What do you think our league expectations are for next season? A solid mid-table finish while the clubs adapt to Hurst's style an approach, or should we expect a playoff push in the first season? Top two, isn't it, boys?
I think the former part of that question,
so
if I'm honest.
Always so negative, Stuart.
Well,
you got accused of being too positive on some of the comment sections earlier today.
We're stirring up too much hype, and it's going to create far too high a pedestal for Mr. Hurst to fall from. That's the current criticism. What was the question?
What's the expectations? You were saying mid-table.
More fun football. That's I want from next season. As long as you know, as long as it's reasonably comfortable in mid-table, which I think the squad is good enough. I look at the players coming back from injury and the kids coming through. I think it's a decent mid-table squad, and hopefully just a bit more fun.
I'm gonna say top six, Harvey. Thanks very much for your question, Neil Sharp. We get asked this question all the time, Neil, but we'll go through it again because we've not talked about it on the podcast, at least not since I've been involved and elevated this whole thing. Our player of the year and best goalkeeper in the league, Bartosz, obviously currently with Poland. What's his contract situation? Now, I know I could probably answer this now. So, he's got an extra year, hasn't he? They've extended for an extra year.
Yeah.
And the deal that Mick McCarthy revealed a little bit naughtily, probably.
I think Mick was trying to grasp at something that wasn't quite there.
I think Mick at the end of January was trying to cling on to a good news story at a time where they were in short supply, and he's rather jumped the gun in telling everybody that Bart had agreed the new deal, which may have just weakened Ipswich's negotiating hand somewhat at that time. So that deal never got signed. In the end, the club had to take up the 12-month extension clause in his contract. So he's got 1 year left on his contract, ultimately, and Ipswich will do everything they can to agree something longer. But if they can't, then I could see them probably cashing in, if not maybe the summer, maybe January, depending on how he's playing.
His value decreases by the day, almost, from this point. His value will never be more than it is.
His stock's pretty high at the moment, isn't it?
Because of that contract situation.
Mm. What figures were we talking in January? 4 million, something like that?
Yeah, we looked at some other... I can't remember who they were now, it's that long ago, but we looked at some other recent goalkeeping moves within the Championship, didn't we? And we thought 4 million was probably...
I think David Marshall was one, wasn't he?
Yeah. Lee Grant, was he another one when he moved to somewhere?
But you're talking in the region of 3.5-4 million for a goalkeeper of his age... A good Championship goalkeeper of his age, that was, and obviously now, the longer his contract runs down, that value just starts to decrease and decrease. Because rightly or wrongly, goalkeepers don't command the same fees that that strikers and outfield players do. So he's still got plenty of years left on him. His best years as a goalkeeper should still be ahead. But I don't know, is it money that Paul Hurst would rather reinvest in other areas of his team? We've talked about Shrewsbury players he might look at. Dean Henderson... has been excellent in goal for him. Has been on loan from Manchester United, and I believe he's out of contract this summer. So
yeah, I think they've offered him a new one, but I think he wants to play, which is admirable. But I also read today that Norwich have had a little eye on him as well, so there might be a battle for that. But you'd think that Paul might be able to have that bit of draw if that is indeed needed. Hopefully it isn't.
Time will tell on that one, Neil. Thanks for your question. Mark Piper says Big Mick to Leeds. We've already talked about that, Mike, but thanks very much for contributing. And finally, just to finish off this first edition of Mailbag, which I'm sure is going to be a very popular addition to the podcast, gentlemen. Tony Southgate, formerly of this parish, used to do the digital stuff here. I'd be interested to know if there's any news on the players who are leaving. It'd be good to know where Higham and DMG, David McGoldrick, may end up. Now, Higham, I think us all being linked with Southend this morning, didn't I?
Yeah.
And McGoldrick, we think, is probably off back up to the Midlands somewhere where his family are, probably maybe even go back to Forest, somewhere like that.
Should we be engaging with Tony, given that he's left us?
Well, I don't know. Good question, actually.
Hi, Tony.
No, we stop talking about that now. So in terms of players who are leaving, there's not that many left now, are there, to be decided upon?
No, I think that's all been tied up now, isn't it? Carriol, Gleeson...
Yeah. Unless, of course, Hurst decides he wants to essentially sign these guys as free agents, they're free, they're gone.
Superb.
Luke Higham, I think Southend looks like a decent fit for him now to go down and be a good player in League One, and he would be a good player. I actually thought he looked pretty decent on his return from injury, but I can understand why Ipswich put sentiment to one side and maybe moved on from Luke, because central midfield, some exciting options next year with Hughes and Adeyemi back, and hopefully, well, Dizel back as well, and Downs and Naidam being all the better for their first senior season, and that's not even mentioning people like Skews and who else have we got in there? They're certainly not short of options.
No.
Not to say, top two next season. You heard it here first. Gentlemen, I think we should probably wrap up now. Coming to the end of our first podcast together, it's been emotional. Gents, what are you up to this weekend? Give a little insight into your glamorous lives.
I'm working on Sunday.
Very glamorous.
So that'll be good. But I'm attending a dragon boat race tomorrow to watch one of my brothers-in-law race in a dragon. And then I'm going to attempt to ever so slightly widen the gap between the cupboard under my sink and the corner cupboard so that a standard fit dishwasher will fit in there, because it currently does not.
First time dishwasher?
Well, no, we moved into this house and it had a dishwasher in it, which was our first dishwasher. But it sadly passed away. We've now cannot live without.
They are essentials. Once you've had one, you can't do without.
Having not had one in the 10 years that we've been living together, we now can't live without it. But it's a centimetre too small, the gap for standard dishwashers. So I'll be attempting to widen that gap.
This is a sort of award-winning chat that I brought to the podcast. Stewie, what are you doing? You've got a toddler's birthday party, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I never stop talking or thinking about football, so obviously that will be the case. Like all footballers and people involved in football, they should never ever switch off from the game.
Indeed.
But in amongst all of that, I will have dozens of toddlers infiltrate my house filled with sugar and creating all sorts of mayhem for a birthday of my daughter's. delayed birthday party because of chicken pox, which also ended my holiday hopes earlier in the summer. So get your tiny violins out for that.
I can hear it playing. That sounds hellacious to me, Suey. For myself, I'll be attempting to set up my parents' new big flash smart TV. My dad referred to having to connect the video player. They haven't had a video player for about 10 years. So you can see the sort of things I'll be doing this weekend. That'll be fun. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, the first edition of the new look Kings of Anglia podcast, or new sound Kings of Anglia podcast, probably more accurate. If you want to leave us a little review on however you get your podcast provided, if you want to leave us a little review, 5 stars, no less than that. If you don't want to give us 5 stars, I will never talk to you again. Exactly, Stu. I won't tell you what Stu just did, but it was a visual thing. It wasn't a podcast thing, shall we say.
Mick McCarthy's done it before.
Echoes back to Mick McCarthy from last season. All that remains to be said then is I hope you have a very good week. We'll be back soon when these boys both get their holidays out of the way. I obviously will always be in the office. So join us again soon and let us know what you think on Twitter, at Andy Warren, at Stuart Watson and at Mark Heath. Have a fantastic weekend. Good talking to you.